The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, on the surface, seems grim, a bleak book of despair. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, the teaching pastor for Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. And thank you for joining us today. You know, once you read a little deeper into Ecclesiastes, getting under that picture of fruitless lives lived in a fallen world, you actually see God at work creating things that are whole and new. Turn with us to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes today, and here's Pastor Jim to get us started.
Tonight, we're going to take one more swat at a portion of Ecclesiastes. The more time I've spent in this letter, the more I'm amazed at how much I missed over the years by not settling down and kind of muddying or soaking, maybe that's a better way, not soaking in the tremendous language of the book of Ecclesiastes. On the surface, it is indeed a very negative and very kind of despair, a book of despair. But when you get under that and you begin to see the heart and hear the wisdom of Solomon as it seeps into the message and informs the message and puts things in context, it is a phenomenal book. And I'm delighted to spend a few moments with you tonight in it. By the way, thank you for your offerings, for your prayers, for Right Start, and thank you for your incredible encouragement. It's delicious to be with you. Open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes, and turn with me, please, to chapter 2 and verse 26. Chapter 2, verse 26. For to the man who is pleasing in God's sight, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, God gives the task of gathering and accumulating in order to give to the one who is pleasing in God's sight. This too is futile and pursuit of the wind. Now, all of that is Solomon's response to a question. Look at it. It's verse 25. For who can eat and who can enjoy life apart from him? Capital H, talking about God, talking about the Creator. And what Solomon does is he observes that if you are out of sync with the Creator, you're going to miss it in this life as well as the next. Matter of fact, God has put such purpose in human life, such dignity and responsibility and accountability in human choices, hear me, that you can't win the game of life apart from him. If I were a teenager, I would say life is rigged. It is rigged. And the person, male or female, young or old, who thinks that they can expend their life, their days, their months, their years here, ignore God, and win the lottery is a fool. F-O-O-L. Can't get away from it. Matter of fact, Solomon observes that the sinner, the one who is insensitive to God, God's revelation, and God's values, the sinner, the one who is not in any way attempting to honor God, please God, or recognize God in their life, that person actually ends up spending all of his life gathering things that are going to go to the believers. Do you see that? Look at it again. To the man who is pleasing in God's sight, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Amen? But to the sinner, God gives the task of gathering and accumulating in order to give to the one who is pleasing in God's sight. Ka-ching. But you didn't even know that verse was in your Bible, did you? People who laugh at you, mock you, people who spurn everything that you believe and witness, people who devote their every waking moment to the pursuit of things that are in defiance of God, their Creator, who refuse to recognize God's creative power in their lives, are actually working to accumulate things that you're going to control. Now that's rigged. That's what I'm saying. That's rigged. When we come to the last part of our message tonight, you'll see again how the rig can be broken. Solomon gets down and dirty in Ecclesiastes, and he tells it with such vivid intensity that if you got any sense at all, and you have any desire to really be successful in this experience we call life on earth, his arguments are unrefutable. If you're not playing on God's team, you're losing. The game is rigged. You can't get out of it. You can't get away from it. You're going to have to make decisions, and those decisions are also going to be held to your accountability. I mean, you can't win by ignoring and rejecting the Creator. And then Solomon strings this list of notable comparisons. Watch what he says. Chapter 3, verse 1. There is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing. A time to search and a time to count it as lost. To give up the search. It's lost. It's done. It's gone. You're not going to find it. Forget it. Chalk it down as one of life's losses. There's a time to keep. Note this, sweetheart. And a time to throw away. Now, I'm not calling out my wife. I have as much trouble with that as she does. We attach values to things, and we attach memories to things. And if I'm not careful, those memories will outweigh the value of that thing. And it can become an idol. Not in my wife's life, but for sure in my life. You get what he's saying? You get what he's saying? There's a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear, to cry, to tear, and a time to sow. A time to be silent and a time to speak. Yes, sweetheart, I see that. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Now, you'll find that a lot of places published by folks who have not really grasped the idea here. The idea is that God stimulates change. And that life on His earth, breathing His air and eating His food, operates by rules and regulations that you're not going to change. I'm not going to change. And He is the one who decides when these contrasting and competing and complementary phases of our lives unfold. Again, what this says is, life is rigged. God doesn't play by your rules. And you don't control the elements of the world around you. The natural elements, the ebb and flow of life, the flow of experiences that you and I have day by day, you don't control those. God controls them. Now, let's keep going. What does the worker gain from his struggles? I have seen the task that God has given people to keep them occupied. Say what? Yeah. Solomon says that God orchestrates human experience through all these changes and forces you into certain behaviors, whether you like it or not. God doesn't show up 6 o'clock a.m., say, okay, tell me what I must do today for you. Doesn't work that way. And no day goes by without God's total control of every circumstance. Boy, what Solomon's training to tell us is that you can't live in God's world without recognizing God is the creator. He's in charge. He stimulates change. He provokes change. He provides opportunities. He brings circumstances. He brings events into our lives that we would never choose in 1,000 years. But you can't run from them. You can't get away from them. Matter of fact, listen to what Solomon says next. Verse 11, He has made everything appropriate in its time. Now, what's that telling us? By appropriate, he means that every one of these contrasts and comparisons, every one of these compliments and these criticisms that we just saw paired off, every one of them is orchestrated by God and timed by God. That is, God arranges factors that impact your life, and he doesn't ask your permission. And he really doesn't care. Listen, he really doesn't care whether you think that's wise or not. This is an amazing insight into the Creator's current, right now, God's current control of every facet of human life. It is amazing. So when someone puffs out their chest and says, God, I don't have time for him. Why would I need God? whether you need him or not, you need to recognize that he's God. And whether you acknowledge him or not, you're not going to escape him. And the details of your life are going to be coordinated by him. And since he's the one that has made everything appropriate in his time, it's all good. All of it. It's good because it answers to his design. What a comprehensive passage. He has made everything appropriate in its time. Let your eyes go down to, down to verse 17. I said to myself, verse 17, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, since there is a time for every activity and every work. I said to myself, this happens, this time for everything and everything in its place, and that's appropriate. This happens concerning people so that God may test them and they may see for themselves that they are like animals. What's that mean? That means as far as the rhythms of life go, you have no more control over the elements that make up your life than the snail has. We talk a lot about free will. That does not mean liberty to do whatever you want. What it means is God puts you in situations where he forces you to act out of your character. See, that's what he says. He says right here, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, since there is a time for everything. This happens concerning people so that God may test them, put them to the test, and they may see for themselves they're like animals, meaning not you are an animal, but you're wasting this incredible opportunity to live out your life in accordance with God's will. Instead, God's management of your life forces you to expose things in your heart that are not appropriate to humans. Amazing. Solomon was very astute. And what Solomon saw was that the Creator didn't quit after 6 days of creation and a day of rest, that God continues to deploy and employ rhythm, change, circumstance, event, seasons. It's not happenstance. It doesn't just happen out of fate. God is in total control. And God stimulates every human through changing circumstances, through changing opportunities, through changing events, in order to provoke them to look in the mirror at themselves and to realize how very little you really are in control, and how very much someone, not something, someone is planning the circumstances of your life. And when it comes to this venue, God does that just to say to you, you're not using your power of choice for the right thing. Actually, it's a destructive force in your experience. Now that's point one. Look at point two. Back up in verse 11, he has made everything appropriate in its time. That is, the event, the circumstance, whether planting or sowing or reaping, whether weeping or laughing, whether whatever the condition, whatever the circumstance is, that controls and mirrors and reflects and catches us, whatever it is, in its time, that is, as God brings it into your experience, it is appropriate. And we've just seen that God does that to test man, to show man, you're not in control. This is not your world. You're not in control. Very little, if anything, that you control. Now, here's the second thing. He has also, see that, also put eternity in their hearts. But man cannot discover the work God has done from beginning to end. We'll come to that in just a second. How about that eternity thing? God has put eternity in their hearts. That means you can't escape the duration of your longevity. You are going to exist forever. You are going to have consciousness forever. God has put eternity in your hearts. This past, Tuesday? I had breakfast with an engineer, right? Engineer? And we got to talking about a number of things, and out of that came this astonishing statement. Now, at one time, I was a pre-med student, so I took advanced biology and all that stuff in high school because I thought God wanted me to become a doctor, a physician. And I was talking about that, and my friend Roy said, well, Pastor Jim, if you took a bag of trash, I think this is a good paraphrase, a bag of trash from your house, and you took it out and you burned it, if you had a contraption that was able to capture the full weight of everything in that bag, okay, and then you burned it up, the ash and everything, that the residue would weigh the same as the trash. And I looked at him and said something very astonishing, like, you have got to be kidding. No, he said, that's a basic scientific principle. Now, I'm sure somewhere back there, I must have walked through that zone where that was real. But I got to thinking about it. That's what he's saying here. God has not even put eternity in our heart. God has put eternity in the elements. And he went on to talk about how elements can change their form, but they cannot change their nature. You don't destroy the basic elements, right? You don't change them. But if you burn them in fire, the fire and all that's involved there will change the component of that.
In spite of all the destruction we see around us, the basic components are not really changed, just rearranged. Ever since Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit, things have been the same. Human beings are in revolt against their Creator, just as they have been all these thousands of years. Now that rebellion is why we need a Redeemer, someone to stand in our place to take the punishment we deserve. Well, these daily lessons are available on single CDs. If you would like a copy for your own, they're available. We're calling today's lesson, For Everything There Is a Season. And for your gift of $7 or more, we'll send you the single lesson. This complete series, Ecclesiastes, is available in a 3-disc set for your gift of $12 or more. We do have several ways you can order. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-984-2313. Or order on the internet. Just log on to rightstartradio.org. Our website has an archive of past programs, and we feature complete uninterrupted sermons. This daily Right Start Radio program is also available as a podcast on iTunes. And, of course, you can write to us at Right Start Radio, Post Office Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Now, I want to take the time today to thank those who are faithful supporters of Right Start. Your prayers and your financial support are what keep this ministry coming your way. I'm John Skillman. Thank you for listening today. Have a good weekend, and plan now to join us again Monday at this same time when we'll be back with our next edition of Right Start.